Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. On WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, New York and New Jersey Public Radio. And from time to time on The Brian Lehrer Show, we open up the phones for people of different cultures to help provide context to the news of the day. You know that. We've asked for Egyptians to call in about the Arab Spring and the mess since then, and Ukrainians to talk about the protests in your home country, and now another cross-cultural call-in to help bridge the divide between our audience and the South. We do this because of the reaction from much of the media and Northerners in general to how the South is coping or is not coping so well with this week's freak snow and ice storms. You have no doubt seen the pictures. Perhaps you've even snickered a little bit yourself about the way the residents of Atlanta or Birmingham reacted to the weather, 2 inches of snow, and everything grinds to a standstill. People die. Well, the phones are open now to anyone with ties to the South to provide some context. What do we need to know about how your hometown is coping? What's your reaction to the reaction from the North? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Maybe you have family members who are stuck in that 18-hour traffic jam in Atlanta. We want to hear from you, 212-433-9692. Or maybe you're from Birmingham, where authorities are telling people to not try to rescue their abandoned cars quite yet, even though it's starting to warm up a bit. The phones are open for any context. Let's find out why this has been so difficult for your southern friends and relatives and just how much weather scorn it deserves. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Some of you heard on yesterday's show, we happened to have a guest from Atlanta who was previously scheduled, Pastor Raphael Warnock of the Ebenezer Baptist Church, and I asked him about the weather. They were still in the middle of it yesterday morning. Here was his take.
Well, let me just tell you, as someone who was born and raised in the South, Savannah, Georgia, but spent 10 years living in New York City, the snow that we've gotten down here would be child's play in New York City, but we get this kind of thing every few years, and so we're woefully unprepared for it. And that, coupled with the decision to do half days in the school system and government and business, then everyone trying to get home at the same time, created a perfect storm, a perfect mess here in Atlanta.
Ebenezer Baptist Church Pastor Raphael Warnock of Atlanta, with a little context here on the show yesterday morning. Well, look at that. All our lines are full. So Lewis on Long Island. Lewis, you just moved here from Atlanta. Do I have that right?
Hello?
Hi, Lewis. Turn off your radio, okay?
Hi, Brian. I apologize for that. One moment, please.
That's okay.
I was on my way there.
How recently did you move here from Atlanta?
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
I'm calling. I'm on Long Island, but I had lived in Atlanta for 5 years. I just got back 3 years ago. And what happened down there is so typical of Atlanta. It could be, like I was telling you, the person answered the phone, it could be a torrential downpour with oceans of water running down I-20, which they showed on television.
Right.
And they would handle that like it was nothing. But just the fact that it turned to snow totally freaks them out. They cannot handle snow or even just a little ice. Totally turns the place upside down. That is typical of Atlanta.
But wouldn't it be fair to say that this is not sort of cultural incompetence, but it's the fact that there isn't much snow? You know, I actually lived in Norfolk, Virginia for 3 years. And
right.
One day when I lived there, there was a freak snowstorm. They don't really get snow in the winter. It's on the coast, and it's pretty temperate. They'll get a little bit here and there, maybe an inch sometimes, and it'll melt right away. And one day there was a foot of snow, and it was this big freak event. And, yeah, people had fun in the snow, but also things got completely ground to a halt for days. And as a northerner who was just down there to be news director of a radio station for a few years, You know, I started out by making fun of it, but then reporting on what the real deal was for my job, I realized that, of course, they're not geared up. They don't have the snowplow force that we would in New York or Albany or somewhere like that, because they just don't get enough snow to justify an investment like that. So do you think that's the deal for Atlanta?
Yeah, no, I don't think that it's, like you said, cultural. They're not culturally, they're not incompetent or anything in Atlanta. This is, you know, as a matter of fact, most of the people I know in Atlanta are from places like Cleveland and Cincinnati. And I'm in construction, and I've met very few people who were born in Atlanta on job sites. But what it is, I think, more than that, like you said, is the fact that they're ill-equipped for it. One, and two, yeah, it's mostly a government thing. It's mostly the government is not capable, and the people of Atlanta, I mean, I-20 is like 42nd Street during rush hour, but all the time. So if things go bad and you get stuck there, there's no getting out.
There's a big sprawl problem no matter what the weather is, right? Lewis, thanks again. Call us again. Sam in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sam.
How you doing? I had family both in Atlanta and in Birmingham, and actually other places in that general area. And what they tell me is that the predictions for when the storm would hit were several hours later than when they did. So people had the conception that there was a bit more time to do things and to prepare. Had a niece that was out with her two children. They went to the library to get some books to, so they would have stuff to do while the kids were out of school due to the storm. And she got stuck at the library. Another niece was, she's a detail person for a pharmaceutical company in Birmingham. She went to see a client in the morning and was stuck there because of the timing. Also that it was ice. And people talk about snow. But it was ice first, and no one can drive on ice.
Absolutely right. And you talk about the timing. One of the other elements here that I don't know if most of our listeners know is that many of the weather forecasts were simply wrong. Atlanta Mayor, I want to play this. Atlanta Mayor, oh, we don't have a clip, but I have a quote of Kasim Reed, the mayor of Atlanta, took a shot at the National Weather Service yesterday on national television for underplaying the severity of the storm. And they shot back with a blog post in which they said they had provided plenty of warning. But apparently they had the storm coming in a little further south of Atlanta than it actually did. But either way, people got caught off guard by the timing, as you say. And I also think in some cases, the actual locations where the storm hit compared to the forecasts.
Yeah, I mean, I have a nephew who works near Atlanta now. He does construction work, and he told me it took him 5 hours to go 12 miles. He has a four-wheel drive.
Even with a four-wheel drive. What a horror show. Sam, thank you very much. And this is not to say that the official response was perfect. Here is Atlanta Mayor Reed in a confrontational interview on CNN talking about how people were sent home on Tuesday afternoon.
That schools should have been closed before
Carol,
the weather hit.
Carol, let me say this. If you're being fair, you would point out that the Atlanta Public School System makes the call on when the system is closed.
But don't you collaborate? Isn't it a collaborative?
No. You ought to be fair with the interview. The Atlanta Public School System calls, and the school systems independently call when they close. So what we did was communicate, and yesterday immediately I said that I thought that it was a mistake for business, government, and the schools to announce those closures, which caused people to flow into the streets and created a major traffic jam.
So they overruled your suggestions?
No, this wasn't an overruling. The bottom line is I said that if I had had my druthers, we would have staggered the closings.
Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed, and he was much more humble on the CBS Evening News last night, in which he said, if I had it to do over again, I would have done it differently. I would have staggered the closings and sent the people in the schools home first, then people in the private sector workforce, then people in government. It was the fact that everybody was told to go home at the same time that helped make it as bad as it was. So some of the words of Mayor Kasim Rita's to another thing that contributed to the mess. Bridget in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Bridget.
Hi, Brian. I'm born and raised in New Orleans, lived in Atlanta for about 3 years, mm-hmm. and I've lived up here for about 5. You know, there isn't a robust public transportation system in Atlanta, so there really isn't another option but to drive. And it's a really hilly city. It's not flat. So I don't think any of us could drive on ice if there's a coating of ice on the road.
You know, we did a segment because there was a study released just a few months ago about how there's less upward mobility in Atlanta if you're born poor than there is in New York. And one of the main reasons that was given by the authors, who I think were from Harvard and UC Berkeley, is exactly what you said, that there is no good public transportation infrastructure. And because the Atlanta area is so spread out, you have no choice but to drive to whatever job you want to work at or apply to. And that makes it much harder for a person who's poor, who grows up in the, let's say, the lowest 10 or 20% of poverty, to actually get around and pull themselves up. And so there are real implications to that lack of public transportation infrastructure combined with the sprawl. And I guess we saw this week another one.
Yeah, I can see that. Thanks for the topic.
Bridget, thank you very much. Eric in Union, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing? And I was born up here in Jersey, so, you know, I know what it's like to be in a snowstorm. But back in 2000, when they had the 2 feet of snow down there, me and my wife, we had just moved down to Apex, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And they call it the 100-year storm down there, I guess. But come to find out, none of my neighbors down there had any snow shovels. We were the only people that had snow shovels, so all my neighbors came to us to use our snow shovels. So going back to what one of the other callers said, is that they're just not equipped down there for that kind of snow because they just don't have it down there as often. More than likely, you're going to probably get ice down there than anything else. You know, so, I mean, they're just not equipped for it down there. I mean, they use heavy-duty machinery, construction machinery, to do snow removal on I-95. I was just driving through there on Tuesday night coming out of Dillon. And, you know, that's what they use down there. So they're just not equipped for it down there.
Brian Barrett from Gizmodo, which wrote an article basically telling people, you know, you're not a nice person. They used a different word that starts with A. But they said you're not a nice person if you make fun of the South for not being able to cope with the snow. But he wrote in that article, have you seen the country's budget lately? Basically, we're broke, which is why the city has invested the few resources it has at its disposal in keeping the lights on rather than, I don't know, salt reserves or whatever you people in Maine have to clear the roads.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's just about the size of it down there. They just, like I said, they just don't get enough snow down there to justify it in their budget. I mean, they do have machines down there outside of Raleigh. You know, I mean, it was pretty clean around the Beltway when I came through there Wednesday morning. But outside of that, most of the secondary roads were covered in snow and ice, and it was pretty dangerous trying to get around there. So,
Eric, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Also, one little clarification. I've seen lots of people tweeting and talking about four-wheel drives. One of our callers said the same thing, like even four-wheel drives got stuck. But remember, four-wheel drive vehicles, that doesn't do anything on ice. It's just as easy to slide off the road, and that was a big factor here. James and Elizabeth, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Good morning. What I've observed, I was a TV weatherman in Nashville for 13 years.
No kidding.
It's a form of mass hysteria. A dusting will send people, now they're not that afraid of tornadoes. I mean, they're respectful of them, but they don't go totally crazy like they do with snow. It's the darndest thing. It doesn't make any sense.
But what do you think about this northern triumphalism, if I can call it that? There's people say, oh, God, down there, they don't even, which is what you're saying, right? Oh, a little snow and people freak out.
Well, yeah, I hate to be one of those people, but I am. Because I'm in Elizabeth, we're up to, our knees just about in snow, and life goes on. But when there's a dusting in Nashville, they would close the schools because the school buses couldn't navigate the country roads. But that's a practical consideration. The impractical part is the absolute fear
of snow.
I snow. Just plain old fear.
Did you ever do this rant when you were a TV weatherman in Nashville?
Of course not. Of course not. I got to be nice to my viewers, but I'm not there anymore. But when I used to leave the house in the morning, I'd tell my wife, well, okay, honey, the white death is coming. I'm going to scare the pants off everybody.
There you go. What do you think about the role of the weather forecasting in this? Have you looked into that yourself a little bit, considering your background and the controversy over whether the National Weather Service blew it?
I have great respect for the National Weather Service. For the most part, they are career meteorologists. They have been in that area for a very long time, and they know all the little vagaries of the hills and the valleys. In the Nashville area, for example, I'm a meteorologist. I could look at the same data. But I greatly respect the guys at the Weather Service because they're pros and they've been at it a long time.
Yeah, so maybe the weather really is going to turn horrible for the Super Bowl and not be mild on Sunday as they're predicting, huh?
I wouldn't bet on that one. But football fans being what they are, you know, you could have an asteroid hit and they still go.
They sold out Yankee Stadium last night in 0-degree wind chills for a hockey game, an outdoor hockey game, and it was 50,000 people. So
I guess I lack the passion, Brian, because I can't think of anything that would call me out in that kind of weather. Maybe nude mud wrestling, but no, probably not even that.
You and me, friend, I'm not sitting out in that to watch a sporting event. But, James, thank you for calling us. Call again. And Mike in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
So I just kind of wanted to wear some context from the other side, I guess, of this debate. I'm from Russia originally and then lived in some really cold places in Rochester, New York, was stationed in the Army up in Fort Drum. And I think it's kind of ironic that in New York and in the Northeast in general, we feel that we really got this handle on snow, and these guys in the South are just incompetent and laughable. You know, in truth, I think there are a lot of places that get a lot more snow than we do, that get much colder temperatures than we do, and frankly handle all of that much better than we do.
It's a really good point. And besides having lived in Norfolk, I lived in Albany for a few years for college and after. And, you know, when it gets to 10 degrees here, as has been happening recently, or single-digit degrees, people freak out here, right? So
Absolutely.
I guess with your perspective coming from Russia, it's like, okay, come on, people, it's cold in the winter, right?
Right. It's especially given that, you know, to us it's as you're saying, you know, when it's minus 10, something like that, that's a record-setting temperature. You know, growing up, that's just, okay, well, you cover your face when it's minus 10. And it's not to say that we're so much tougher. It's really just literally what you're used to. You know, if that's the climate you have in the part of the world where you're from, it's what you know. And in Atlanta, the climate they have, from what I understand, is not a lot of snow, except maybe once every 5 years.
Mike, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And to wrap this up, we should point out that there are some serious policy implications here. People did die in this storm. And so it wasn't just the inconvenience of being stuck in traffic. If bad planning on the part of the city, if bad weather forecasting, if bad preparation and misdirection, especially on the part of, you know, various government officials in these various places, had anything to do with that, they really have something serious on their hands. And we know that Mayor Reed in Atlanta is going to face some tough questions as a result of this. Remember how bad it was for Mayor Bloomberg's slow snowstorm response a few winters ago and a few other times in the history of New York City. This may even have had more implications in terms of the effects on people's lives and health. But there you go. Thank you for all your calls. Great to hear from you Southern expats who are now in the New York area chiming in with some context, and Russian expat. So thanks again, and you continue it. You can continue it if you want at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Coming up next, we're actually going to go to Tennessee for our next guest, law professor Glenn Reynolds from the University of Tennessee. He's the man behind the widely read libertarian Instapundit political blog. He wants to break the college monopoly on professional credentials, and he says the information age will save K-12 education from itself. Stay with us.